You look prettier with your mouth shut. Calladita, te ves más bonita. A short story by Amelia Diaz Ettinger. Puerto Ricans talk in proverbs constantly. Refrains like no cambies soga por cabra. Don't exchange the goat for the rope. Más vale hoy que dos mañanas. Better today than two tomorrows, etc., etc. But the expression that rub loose raw was the one her mother used more than all the others, her Ave Marias and all her Ay Benditos. And she told those a lot. The one proverb that always made Luz feel ill at ease, and she was not sure why, was Con la boca cerradita te ves más bonita. You look prettier with your mouth shut. Luz's mother followed it with, Nena, tienes que ser obediente a tu marido y no abras la boca. So she had been an obedient wife that kept her mouth shut hermetically. That summer day, Luz wasn't sure what had precipitated it, whether it was the governor speaking ill of Ricky Martin or her husband, Felipe, calling from the couch. But whatever it was, something shifted, making her body ache. Vieja, tráeme una cerveza, Felipe yelled from the couch. He hollered like Luz was not already elbows deep in suds. Washing the mess of dishes left from the domino party Felipe and his panas had last night. Barking orders from his throne. Another beer. Like he couldn't go to the refrigerator by himself. She twisted her body from the sink to watch him as he shoved chicharrón after chicharrón in his face, watching television. She could see that the TV was showing another demonstration in Old San Juan, alternating between the demonstrators and the governor. Turning like that had made her spine tense. She could feel all the muscles from under her skull back down to her waist almost spasm. But she was her mother's daughter, obedient to the head of the household, calladita. The anger spewing out of the TV was palpable. So many demonstrations, so much anguish. And anger was like a wet blanket covering every corner of this house, the neighborhood, hell, the whole island, she thought. Luz, coño, la cerveza, and make sure it is cold. The mayor of San Juan came on TV. Luz peeked again at the television, this time turning her whole body. Her neck was giving her trouble. The mayor was wearing a black T-shirt with the word nasty in English printed in white letters. That caught Lou's attention. She was about to ask Felipe what the t-shirt meant when he started yelling at the television. More pointedly, he was yelling at the mayor. Look at that puta, getting her face on the news. Virgen Santísima, she thinks she's so pretty. Should keep her mouth shut. Always bad-mouthing the president, nonetheless. Where's my beer, Luz? The mayor was a woman Luz's husband could not stand, and she didn't know exactly why. She liked how the blonde woman had rallied and worked alongside the Barrios, how she had implored all the powers in what to be in Washington, D.C. for more food, water, though it had trickled down slowly. And for weeks, months, they had had no electricity. She had confronted Trump, the president. As Luz watched the mayor on TV, she thought Julene was looking directly at her, addressing her specifically in her flawless English. Any dialogue that goes on needs to produce results, the mayor was saying. And Luz knew she was talking directly to her. The mayor wanted the governor to resign his post. Felipe laughed at what Julene was saying. Luz automatically rolled her eyes from the safety of her kitchen. She wished she could massage her neck, but her hands were scrubbing all that stuck-on grease. She had to wash everything by hand. The dishwasher no longer ran, not since Hurricane Maria. Not that would have mattered to her husband, her Felipe. He only knew how to clean a plate by eating. She heard him exchange the channel after he grumbled something about women in politics. The governor was speaking on Channel 2, his favorite channel, that brought Fox News. Vieja carajo, bring me una cerveza. Are you sleeping in the kitchen? Felipe yelled louder, startling her. That was the exact moment when the tendon on her neck finally popped. The snapping of the tendon sent an electric buzz all the way down to the tip of her tongue, and Luz became a somnambulist of sorts. It might have been the governor's ranting or the mayor of San Juan pointing her finger directly at her. Or maybe it was just the grating voice of Felipe, who had not moved from his couch since he woke up this morning, demanding another beer. Whatever it was, this was the moment she got her arms out of the sink. She peeked into the living room again. There were at least 5 empty bottles of beer on the coffee table in front of her husband, who sat in his undershirt, a thing he knew she hated. Those bottles were not even from last night. Those she had already picked up and placed in the recycling bin. These were the new ones he had had today. And it wasn't even noon. With a searing pain from the neck to jaw to tongue, she took off her apron and dropped it right on the floor. Vieja, where's my beer? For a fourth time. Luz looked at the upper corner of the kitchen at the air conditioner unit by the wall. There was dark mold growing around the flaking green wall, damage from the hurricane still visible. I will paint over that, don't you worry. I get the paint tomorrow. Felipe's promises of tomorrow's that never came. The air conditioner, like her oven, had not been repaired since the great hurricane. Nothing had been repaired. Luz grabbed the beer from La Nevera, which, thank heavens, still worked, though it made a rackety noise, and the temperature was unpredictable from too cold to not cold enough. But instead of taking the Corona to Felipe, she took the cool beer, rubbed her sweaty forehead with the chill bottle, and walked out the front door. As she stepped outside, she heard him asking her where the hell was she going. Luz, still feeling like she was sleepwalking, kept going. The mayor had pointed at her on the TV. She walked past the display of chatarra, the scraps of cars Felipe had been accumulating over the 20-plus years of their married life. Those scrap of cars, that chatarra that had almost killed all the azaleas and poinsettias that used to be her mother's pride and joy. She walked past those cars and into the C-45, La Guagua, that will take her to Old San Juan. The driver gave her a look when she saw the beer in her hand and was about to open his mouth, but she must have had the devil's eyes, el ojo del diablo, as her mama used to say, because he took the fare and did not say a word. "There, that is right. Calladito te ves más bonito. You do look prettier with your mouth shut tight," she thought as she took a seat in the front of the bus. The street to La Fortaleza, or El Palacio de Santa Catalina, the governor's blue and white mansion, was congested with more people than a midnight mass. Music was blaring from loudspeakers, and seas of Puerto Rican flags were proudly carried by the demonstrators, some walking, some almost running, and all of them chanting slogans. A few were dressed in costumes, and one or two vigilantes on stilts walked by her carrying signs. The protest on TV did not give it justice, Luz realized. The crowd was bigger. And the women, there were as many, if not more, than there were men, chanting with loudspeakers, addressing the crowds with ease. A dancer with a Puerto Rican flag danced and leaped as a group of male drummers with bongos walked alongside of her. Luz wondered if the little island of San Juan could tip over into the Atlantic because of the sheer number of people marching on the cobblestone street. "Renuncia ya!" Women carrying signs chanting for the governor to renounce. Luz felt a giggle escape her lips. The sea of red, white, and blue Puerto Rican flags waved in the warm breeze of the Atlantic, and the smell of frying pastelillos and sea salt gave the accumulation of people a certain levity, as it was a carnival instead of a protest. And it seemed every single one of the protesters carried a sign and looked at her as if she was one of them, smiling acknowledgingly. It was hard to see where she was walking, though she felt the familiar cobblestones under her flip-flops. Luz flowed along with the mounds of bodies, some slamming into her shoulders as they marched, yelling, "Que renuncie!" Luz marched alongside, allowing the bodies to brush against her without repeating the slogans, though she felt her tongue just on the verge of trying. Why was she here? And God, she was wearing her old sweats and Felipe's discarded t-shirt The red one. The one he was so proud of wearing that say, "Make America Great Again." She must be a sight. Ay, bendito, she sighed, but there was a growing bubble of excitement lifting from her pelvis right into her belly. She had not felt this kind of thrill since she was a student. Watching the muscular boys playing bongos in La Plaza, she felt like a triggerfish in a sea of bodies as they marched and shook their signs. The beer was gone. She had emptied the bottle. She smiled. A young woman with a tattoo of a coqui sitting on the Puerto Rican flag on her very developed bicep and black t-shirt with the slogan, "Calladita, no, te ves más bonita," came out of one of the alleys towards her. The girl with the tattoo grabbed her arm and pulled her off the street. She pushed a clipboard and a pen towards Luz's face. Luz was so close to this girl in one of the narrow San Juan entrances that Luz could smell the sweet smell of Maja soap, Luz's favorite soap. "Have you signed the petition yet?" the muscular girl asked her, eyeing her shirt with an impish grin. Luz felt a shiver of embarrassment. Luz looked at the paper on the clipboard the girl shuffled into her hands. Signatures at least 10 pages deep asking for the governor to resign. The pages were curled at the edges. The moisture of the island and the many hands that must have touched those papers, Luz thought. Luz had voted for the governor because that is what Felipe told her to do. In all her life, she had never really considered who needed to govern the island. It did not feel personal to her, not directly. What difference could it really make in her day-to-day living? What would a governor do about dirty dishes, smashed azalea bushes, or domino parties until 3 o'clock in the morning? But then Maria happened, and there was no clean water, electricity, transportation. Even food was scarce. In her worst nightmares, she could have never have imagined anything like this could happen on her island. Those things happen only in other places, countries like Haiti. Not here, not in La Isla del Encanto. And yet, here she was, at a protest, with an empty bottle of Corona and a pen in her hand. She wanted another beer. With her other hand, the one with the empty beer bottle, she touched the side of her jaw, where she had felt the snapping of her tendon. A ghost feeling still remained. The pen in her hand was solid. She looked at the girl with the tattoo of the coqui on her very developed bicep, and noticed that the girl had speckled brown spots in her intense brown eyes. They crinkled at the corners expectantly. There was an honesty and vibrancy in those eyes. Any dialogue that goes on needs to produce results. She signed the petition. It was the first petition she had ever signed in her 40 years of life. The girl thanked her and winked her left luminous eye, disappeared in the crowd with a clipboard. Luz looked around the crowd of protesters, feeling satisfaction, and joined the ocean of bodies carrying an empty beer bottle and a pen. She forgot to return the pen. The governor should resign, she decided, and followed a crowd chanting the words to a new rhythm. clapping her hands to the words, noticing the brownness of her formidable arms. I have muscles from scrubbing. Good. Back home, Felipe was gone. The coffee table was filled with empty cans of beers and a half-empty bowl of chicharrones that left a greasy smear on the mahogany top. Good, she repeated to herself. He was gone already for today's game of dominoes at his brother's house. He wouldn't be back until the birds came to roost, which was a stupid saying, because birds went to roost early. Felipe would not show his face until morning light if she was lucky. And lucky she felt. So Luz got to work. The first thing to arrive was La Grúa de Moisés, the tow company. She had hired her sister's husband, Moisés, with a promise of a full plate of rice and habichuelas to remove all that chatarra of dead cars off her garden that had been her mother's pride. With amazing speed in 5 trips, he had done the job. You know how long it will take me to move all those cars? Months, I tell you. It will cost me an eye of the face. No, I tell you, I will sell each one of those chatarra, as you call it, for parts. You don't know the value of those parts. I will make money. Remember who carries the pants in this family. So stop pestering me. Well enough of that endless babble. This was results with all that nonsense. The azaleas were yellow and brown and might never recover, but the poinsettia still has some green, though dwarfed by all these years of neglect. Still, she could work with that. Those plants will be restored to their former glory. She was going to make certain. Shortly after the tow truck left, the Lossmick truck parked across the street. She had been most nervous about this, having all the locks of the house changed, and only she will have the keys. She had not known whom to call. The only locksmith she knew was Alberto, but he was one of the domino boys. So she called the first locksmith that she saw in the yellow pages. She chose one because she liked the advertisement. It said, Barco que anda no llega al puerto. Luz wondered why a cerradero will advertise with such a proverb. What does a boat that doesn't move have to do anything with never reaching its destination? But she liked what it was, another one of her mama's sayings. And here the truck was. The same proverb painted on the side of a pink truck. Pink? The doorbell rang. The locksmith, Luz, reached for the door. With such nervous anticipation about locking Felipe out for good, she felt her intestines turn to mush. To her surprise, there was the girl with the frog tattoo, the same girl who had the clipboard, the girl with the black t-shirt that read, Calladita, no, te ves más bonita. Never would she have anticipated a locksmith to be a girl, and not any girl, that girl. Hey, I know you, said the girl as she entered the house with a huge toolbox. You signed the petition earlier this morning, didn't you? For no apparent reason, Luz felt she wanted to make a better impression on this girl. So after telling her to change every single lock in the house, Luz left her and went to her room to shower and take off her MAGA shirt. After all, this was one of Felipe's t-shirts, not one of her own. His love for the president made little sense to her. They did not even have a vote for the election of any president. Make Puerto Rican great again was more like it, Luz thought as she stripped off her clothes and entered the shower. Fortunately, there was running water at that moment. Se va la luz, se va el agua, electricity and water unreliable. But there was no hot water. The hot water tank also broke during the hurricane. But al mal tiempo, buena cara, as her mother used to say. Repeating those words in her head, Luz smiled. Yes, this might be not good times, but she liked cold water, especially in this heat. She could show her good face to adversity. The cold shower felt incredibly reassuring. Tomorrow, she will go and find some recaito seeds, some tomato and passion fruit vines, regrow her mother's vegetable garden, maybe even get a chicken or two and a goat to boot. She wouldn't fix a hot water heater tank. Cold water will do. And buy a fan, yes, a fan with big brown blades and place it over her bed. The girl was almost done with changing locks by the time Luz came out of her bedroom. Luz's hair was still wet, her brown curls a slave on her head from the heat. She wore a clean dress, a pretty one that made her curves pop, and leather sandals, the good kind. For the first time in 20 plus years, she felt like la reina de la casa. You'll be my queen in our home, Felipe's forgotten words. The girl with the tattoo was kneeling by the front door, finishing the last lock when Luz entered the living room. The eye-crinkled smile on the girl's face seemed to illuminate her house, and Luz felt her knees give a little. How much do I owe you? Luz was about to ask, when the girl stood and asked her if there was anything else she needed besides, of course, changing all the locks in the house. The girl's eyes sparkled, and the bicep with the coqui tattoo on the Puerto Rican flag looked as if it could dance. Luz took a minute to reply. She took a visual survey of her home. The chatarra was gone off her mother's azaleas and poinsettias. All the locks were changed, and she was the only one with the keys to her home. Her home was bruised from the hurricane, but she would have time to fix all of that. Smiling back at the girl with the tattoo, feeling an expansion in her chest, feeling beautiful and full of herself, she said, "Siéntate aquí." As she patted the sofa, showing her where to sit, she added, "Tell me two things and maybe some more." The girl looked at Luz with that impish grin, just like the one she had given Luz that morning. The girl sat at the sofa with ease, as if she had done it a million times before. She sat cross-legged with the familiarity of an old friend. "First tell me, why do you have that slogan on your truck? And second, where can I get a tattoo just like that?" They chatted for hours. By the end of the night, they had shared 5 cold beers between them. Luz made a large plate of mofongo, and the two enlightened each other in the ways new friends do. The mayor had been right, Luz thought, as she placed a fringe of escape hair behind the girl's ear. To produce results, you need a dialogue. Calladita, no te ves más bonita. From where they sat, she could hear the nightly whistling of the coquis and wonder how many more of the singing frogs there would be once her azaleas and poinsettias bloom. El fin.